So our text this morning is 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses, I'm going to start with verses 8 through 10. Okay, but I'm going to need some props for this. Okay, this is going to be a special one. So the first one I'm going to need is this one here. So even as I share that, I want you to keep an eye on this sword. It's very sharp, so hopefully it doesn't fall on my foot. That would not be good. It says, these are the names of David's mightiest warriors. The first was Jashobeam the Hachmonite, who was the leader of the three. The three mightiest warriors among David's men. He once used the spear to kill 800 enemy warriors. Come on. Braveheart has nothing on the Bible. Hallelujah. 300. Talk to Gideon. Next in rank among the three was Eleazar, son of Dodai, a descendant of Ahoah. Once Eleazar and David stood together against the Philistines when the entire Israelite army had fled. You know, in 1 Chronicles, it tells us in the same story, it says that it was a field of barley. And the whole Israel army, you know, retreated. But, you know, Eleazar and David said, come on, bring it on. And they said that they protected, they held up that field. You know, they were poised for battle, and they were not moved. And it says that they fought so hard that by the time they were done, it says that they couldn't pry their fingers off of the sword. That's how many, you know, how long they had fought and how many people they had killed in battle. You know, so how many know we're in a battle? So I want you to think about this. That's why I want to give you this visual. We're in the midst of a battle. But it's a spiritual battle first. Everybody say spiritual. Spiritual battle. So it says right here, he killed Philistines until his hand was too tired to lift his sword, and the Lord gave him a what? A great victory that day. I want to tell you, the victory's already been won. It was won at Calvary. We don't fight for victory, we fight from a position of victory. You need to understand that, because some people think, I hope, maybe God will, if it's not too hard, if it would just, you know, I'm not very good, so maybe I don't know if God will answer my prayer. No, you can't have that attitude. Jesus says that he died for the unrighteous and he paid for your victory already on Calvary's cross. He spilled all of his blood. Amen? So we have to fight from that position. The Bible says that we are joint heirs. We sit in heavenly places with Jesus. You know, don't see yourself as sitting on the ground in the midst of your problem, but see yourself standing next to the throne with Jesus. And Jesus says, what do you want to do? Well, I'm having a problem in my marriage. Well, speak to the marriage. Lord God, would you just bless my marriage and release angels to minister to my wife and to my kids? And to the, I mean, that's, you're fighting from a position of victory, positionally. Amen? It's all about how you see yourself. That's where faith comes in. It says, the rest of the army did not return until it was time to collect the plunder. The cool thing, even for those that don't know how to fight well, there's a plunder. God is good for us. Amen? So, after Goliath, just let me give you a little background. After Saul wanted to kill David, if you remember that story, the future king, you know, David was going to be the future king. It says Saul was jealous of him. And David, being a type of Christ, it says that he went into the cave of Adullam to flee. He went into a cave. He's like, oh, Saul's chasing me. So this is before he became king, right? And it says that a bunch of men followed him in there. And the scripture says that there were people in trouble, in debt, or discontented. I mean, just a mess, just like us right here, all right? Just think of, you know, a messy people. This is the people that God, you know, deals with. But it says that the Spirit of God in David was able to turn these men around, you know, and they became a great army. How many know that when you're in the middle of a bunch of negative people, it kind of rubs off on you, and eventually you become a little negative yourself? There was something about David that he was able to, you know, hold on to his peace and the character of God. And it says that they turned to David. They became like David. And out of that came out the most amazing army. And it says he had special forces. There was 37 men. Within that special forces group, there was three that were the elite of the elite. They were the best of the best. And so we're talking about Jashobeam and Eleazar. There was people that, man, come on, bring it on. Like I said, Braveheart, Gideon, you know, I mean, 300, all these movies we see, that's nothing. This is the reality right here. And so they became a great bunch of warriors that God raised up from a group of men, and if I can say, and women, right? Because even though it talks about men here, this applies to men and women equally here, whose potential sometimes is only apparent to God. Right? We even sang about it today. Oh, what powerful songs. Just confirming the word of the Lord today over and over, you know, about spiritual warfare. That God's calling us to a place of prayer. We talked about Ezekiel 37, one of the songs. It's called, the vision of the valley of the dry bones that the prophet spoke and says, hey, let tissue and sinews and skin, you know, and everything is, you know, and those bodies came back together, right? And eventually they became a great army. And after he also prophesied that the breath of God would come into them. That is happening. We may look like a bunch of discontented, in debt, troubled, beat down, hurting people, but God is able to form us into a mighty army with the Spirit of God in our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. And so when everybody's retreating, he and David stood their ground on this field of barley, and they killed many, many Philistines until they were so tired. You know, so I want you to think about that. This is a season that God is calling us to be poised for battle. This is not the time to whimper. This is not the time to hide away. This is time to be said, I'm going to, you know, put down my feet on the field God's called me to, and I don't care who comes against me, I'm going to cut them down. I want you to just see yourself with the sword of God in your hand. I said, God has given me the authority, devil. You have no authority over my family. You have no authority over my job. You have no authority over my future. You have no authority over my destiny. I'm going to be poised for battle. So I've titled this message, Poised for Battle. Poised for Battle. This is a time to fight. People, our nation needs us to fight. We are the hope of a lost and dying world, the church of God. We are the hope of this nation. We can't wait for the government to fix things. It's the people of God. The government is where it's at because the church stopped doing its work. But we're going to take it back. We're going to take it back. God has put in my heart today that God has raised you up as warriors for some intense warfare in the days to come. He has called us to fight, but to fight well. And just like David and Eliezer, even when others retreat, we're going to stand our ground and we're going to see a great victory. So as we look at the political landscape of our nation, all the division that we're seeing, our nation split right down the middle, at least per the polls, right? There's radical violence in many places in America, right? Innocent bystanders and cops being killed, you know, and just innocent people. And it's not a racial thing. It's a sin thing. You know, Satan is in the middle of this. We're in a spiritual battle. Don't get caught up in the natural and your emotions. You need to know that we fight and fight well by fighting in the Spirit. Amen? There's a huge push to silence Christians. And this election will be a major inflection point in history. This is a make it or break it. One and done. For all the marbles, we need to stand up. We need to be poised for battle. I'm calling you in the days ahead to be ready to take your place in our prayer and fasting, in our humbling ourselves before the Lord. When other people are shouting and posting away in Facebook and Instagram, we're going to be on our knees. We're going to be in our closet. And we're going to be declaring the word of the Lord. And God's going to deliver us. Amen? And we're going to see God's breakthrough in so many levels. You need to be coming on Wednesday nights. You need to be coming on Wednesday nights. If you want to fight, you know, this is kind of like this is the celebration. This is our weekend experience. But, you know, when we fight our battles, you know, is in all the prayer groups and in our Wednesday night prayer and worship. You know, we have a little bit of worship and then we just have a short exhortation and then we go into a time of intercession for whatever the Lord's put on us. We pray for Israel. We pray, you know, against abortion. We prayed, you know, what else did we pray for? We prayed for people that have been sick among us. We've been praying, you know, for the elections, our schools reopening. We come against COVID over and over and over. Come on. And we're seeing Cochise County. This is our jurisdiction. Did you know that we're down to less than 100, about 190 active cases? Did you know the rate of transmission in Arizona is like the second lowest in the nation? Most of the cases in Cochise County that are active, most of them are in Douglas. And a lot of them are because there are people coming across the border to get treatment. So a lot of people are running afraid and getting mad at people on, you know, at the supermarket for nothing. I'm not saying it's not real. It is a sickness, but you know, we've been declaring Psalm 91, those that make the Lord their refuge. It says you may see 1,000 fall, you know, your left hand side, 10,000 on your right hand side, but it says it will not come, you know, to your doorstep. The plague will just stay away from you. You know, God, we've seen even people get sick and they've recovered, right? And thank God, we've been meeting here since May 31st. We haven't had an outbreak, people. Come on. I'm not confident in myself. I'm confident in my God. The God's called us to minister to this community, and we can't do it if we're cowering afraid. Amen? So, I don't know if anybody saw this, but just this week, Netflix began to advertise a new series about 11-year-olds dancing sensually. It's called Cuties. 11-year-olds. And if you look at the small print on it, it says it's by a little girl who bucks against her religious family because she wants to dance with these girls. People, if you're not seeing the march of pedophilia in our nation, slowly but surely, come on. You need to get your eyes of discernment on, because it's happening, people. There's an agenda, right? Listen to what I'm telling you. Pedophilia is the next big thing the radical left is going to push on us. Hallmark, oh, we all love Hallmark Channel. Well, guess what? They've given in to witchcraft and the LGBTQ agenda. Come on. Disney and Pixar as well. Oh, beloved Disney. You know, I've read up a little bit on Walt Disney. He wasn't as nice as a lot of us think he was. It wasn't just about a little mouse. Okay? He was in cahoots with some powerful, dark people. Okay? So we got to be careful. You gotta be careful. We're not about going to your house and tell you, throw away your TV and why are you reading that and why are you dressed like that. No, we let the Spirit of God do that. But we set the standard. When we had a series called Counterculture, we talked about all these subjects. It's important. These things are hitting our shores. And I'm looking for some radical warriors poised for battle. This is not, like I said, the time to hide. You know, and someone said, well, the violence is in other states. It's in Portland. All those radical centers. Keep it weird, right? Seattle, Minneapolis, California. Oh, that's where all the craziness is. You know, and you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to stay here. I'll be fine. I don't have to do anything. Well, I'm telling you, God gave me a verse for us and for you, in case you're thinking that you don't have to do anything. Esther was the queen of Persia, but no one close to the king knew she was a Jew. Right? And so when the word was given that a law had been passed to allow Jews to be exterminated in this kingdom, Mordecai, her uncle, a man of faith, said to her, this is in Esther chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, Mordecai sent this reply to Esther, don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't think because it's, oh, this is Sierra Vista, this is different. It's too far from here. When all the other Jews are killed, you can put in there all the believers being persecuted. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliver and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this. I'm telling you, people, God single-handedly picked you, you know, for this very time and space, to be born in America, to be here in Sierra Vista, even to be here a part of Shiloh, so we could be part of one army. There's armies throughout the city, you know, there's different units, but I'm talking about this unit. God brought you here for a reason, for such a time as this. You're hearing this message because God wants you to be a part of this mighty army that is poised for battle. Hallelujah. This is not the time for flower power. This is time for gritting our teeth and holding our sword. Just like COVID-19 is in every country, the end times harvest has stirred up spiritual warfare on all fronts. There are angelic forces fighting on behalf of His people. They're commissioned by God and deployed by our prayers. Did you hear that? They're commissioned by God, but they're deployed by our prayers. We've always said here, much prayer, much blessing. Little prayer, little blessing. There's something that happens when we begin to connect with God in prayer. And at times we may pray against Him, but the more we pray, He begins to align us to Him. And we begin to pray the things that He wants us to be praying about. And next, you know, we're finding ourselves in the center of His will. But if you just pray sparsely here and there, just throw up a Hail Mary. And I'm talking about a Hail Mary prayer from the Catholics. I'm talking about a Hail Mary throw, you know, like in football. It's like, well, hope it works, Lord God, listen to me. You know, that's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. There are demonic forces who oppose Jesus, goodness, truth, life, hope, and especially that you have a vibrant relationship with Jesus. I'm telling you, you're not fighting against people. You're not fighting against your spouse. You're not fighting against your boss. You're fighting against spiritual powers, principalities. Amen? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We've said that so many times, it kind of lost its meaning. But the enemy wants to see you and your children in the grave. That's when he'll be happy. He doesn't just want to, give you a hard time and tempt you a little bit. He wants to see you dead. And when he's unchecked, it leads people to death. There's so much hopelessness. There's so much suicide, anxiety, people making bad decisions, drug addiction, alcohol abuse, all kinds of things. So I'm asking you today, are you poised for battle? I'm telling you, it's like you just signed up for the army. You were, what do they call it, conscripted? You didn't know you got signed up for the army. But I'm sorry, we're going to have to cut your hair, and you're going to have to go to basic training. It's just the way it is. You have no choice. Christians don't have a choice. You're either fighting or you're losing, because you are in a battle. Tell the person next to you, you're in a battle. Get over it. Get into it. Hallelujah. So I'm looking for someone with some righteous anger in this place that knows how to fight. Hallelujah. So point number one, you need to know spiritual warfare is ongoing. It is happening. We fight every day, every week, you know, of the year. We're fighting for something. We're fighting for people, for, you know, against demonic forces, to see breakthroughs, you know, to see people discipled, to see, you know, people saved and baptized, to see, you know, lives transformed, marriages strengthened. We're fighting. There's always spiritual warfare going on. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. And this is Paul speaking, a final word. He's closing this epistle. Be strong in who? In the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. He has a lot of strategies. He doesn't have a whole lot of them. He uses the same ones very well. You know, he just uses them up against us. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Come on, tell your spouse, I'm not fighting against you. I know we fight, but my fight is not against you. I know they're like, don't make eye contact. You know, just say amen. Hallelujah. Just say, help me, Lord, under your breath. Help me, Lord. But against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. We're not fighting Antifa. We're not fighting cops. We're not fighting other armies. We're fighting against major principalities which influence people like puppets. Let's be honest. Some of us have been used by the enemy to stir up stuff with gossip, with strife, with unforgiveness, with offense. We're just little puppets causing trouble everywhere. And what? Eventually, we come to grips with it. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. All of a sudden, like the Holy Spirit convicts, like, what am I doing? I'm being played. I'm being used. I'm just a puppet of the enemy. You know, the enemy corrupts the minds with elaborate, multi-generational schemes. He slowly seduces us to fall into certain sins, which we normally would not. There's things that he was planning since the 50s that are materializing now. Young people, you may not recognize it, but anyone who's been on earth for more than 2 decades can probably see that things have deteriorated. There's a desensitization especially in the areas of sexual immorality, of witchcraft, legalizing of drugs like marijuana and its derivatives. I just want to say, the Bible says that we need to flee from evil and the appearance of evil. Don't just justify it. Have none to do with anything which weakens your stance and moral high ground. We have to fight for every inch of every field and fight until the enemy stops coming. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Eventually he stops coming for a season. He'll come again, but we'll be ready for him. The righteous may fall, but he will get up every single time. Amen? One day the battles will stop when Jesus comes the second time. We call it the second coming, right? Comes to earth. Then at that point, no more spiritual warfare. It's over. He'll set up his 1,000-year reign. Then after the 1,000 years, the Bible says the devil will be released for just a little bit longer, but then eventually he'll be sent to the lake of fire and brimstone. He and all his demons, all the principalities we're talking about, and all those that did not, you know, submit to Jesus when they could have. So at that point, you won't have to fight anymore. So if you go to heaven also before that happens, you won't have to fight anymore. You'll be cheering us maybe from that cloud of witnesses in heaven. But until you leave the earth one way or the other, you're going to have to fight and you're going to have to retain what you've gained. You have to use the gift of discernment in order to detect where you, your family, or we as a church have already been infiltrated. We've already been infiltrated in some ways. The devil is very cunning, but Paul reminds us we're not unaware of the devil's schemes. But that happens in their prayer. There's times until I've been praying for a while, all of a sudden the Lord says, let me show you where you have a little bit of pride. And then I repent. I say, God, forgive me. And let me show you where you have a little bit of offense. You know. But if we don't have those extended times of prayer, of seeking God, of worship, you know, we can easily become prey to that. Point number two, spiritual preparation is needed for the fight. Hallelujah. You don't just join the army and deploy the next day. Hopefully they don't do that. I know that in the early days of Iraq, it seemed that it was like that. Right? We've heard of units that were like, they would finish class and next, you know, they're like, yeah, they sent them. What about their readiness level progression, all this stuff? You know, you might not know that's an aviation term. But they were again sent like right away. That's not a good thing. You're supposed to be trained up before you go. Being poised for battle is about being fit, about having the right stance, about having the right mentality, having a never quit attitude, and a confident hope in God. That's what it means to be poised for battle. We're going to continue in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, put on every piece. Every piece, not just a couple of pieces that you like. Every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil, right? Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Like I said, the victory is assured if you do it God's way. Then it says, stand your ground. That barley field, that marriage, right? That family. That situation, I will not let you have it, enemy. You cannot have it. What have you been letting the enemy have? What are the areas that you've already given up on? Don't do that. Never quit. That's where the devil has you. You just keep coming. On Wednesday, we talk about persistence. That Jesus taught us to pray persistently, to never give up. Amen? And it says, for shoes put on the peace that comes from the good news is that you will be fully prepared. Actually, I didn't complete 14. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. 16, in addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah, at all times. Sometimes I don't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit knows. I'm telling you, if you don't believe in speaking in tongues, you need to read the scripture because it talks a lot about it. You know, you have to pray in tongues. And sometimes you don't know what you're praying, but thank God the Holy Spirit is interceding through you and praying what needs to be prayed. And I've seen it. We're like, oh, God, I feel like there's a great cloud. What's going on? And then I'll just be praying, you know, in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. And all of a sudden, it's like, I feel like something just lifted off. We need to pray in the Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in all your prayers. It says, for all believers everywhere. I've been praying, you know, for many of you by name, you know, as the Lord brings you to my remembrance. I lift you up, and I'm doing warfare for you. I'm just sending some spiritual bombs in your, you know, in your direction, not to harm you, to help you, you know. So, so anyway, I got some more stuff here. Where's my helmet? I need a helmet. Yeah, this is a good helmet. Yeah, right here. And I need a shield. I need a shield. Yep, I need a shield right here. Where's the shield of faith? All right. I don't know how you can do this for like a long time. Yeah. John Hooray, who owns this stuff? He's saying, man, I went to one of those festivals. And I carried this for hours, and his arm was like, you know, it's like 13 pounds of, that seemed like 100 by the time you're done. Anyway, I'm just going to put this right here for you guys. It's got some fiery darts in there, but it stopped them pretty good, right? So we're going to put on the belt of truth. What does it mean, the belt of truth? We delve with truths. We don't hide our faults. We bring it out in the open. We tell people the truth in love. How difficult it is. I'm telling you, it's hard for us as pastors. We want to be loved. We want to be, you know, have good relations with everyone. And sometimes it's hard for us to say what we want to say. But we know that we have to speak the truth in love. Amen? Remember, truth as a man. Jesus said, I am the way, what? The truth and the life. So you must read your scriptures constantly so you will not be deceived. And when prompted, quickly repent. Keep short accounts. Right? Then you have to put the body armor of God's righteousness. Know that your righteousness, your right standing comes from what Jesus did, not from what the good things that you're doing. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. He is the righteousness. Amen? But then, live to do righteousness. Fight for righteousness in everything that is pleasing for God. Have a heightened sense that you don't want to offend God. That's the fear of the Lord. That's what really what it means. If there's one person I don't want to offend, it's Jesus. The Bible says, do not contrite the Holy Spirit. Do not make him sad. Do not push him away. Choose preparation of the gospel. Let your testimony be in your lips early and often. Early and often. Stand your ground. Let people know where you stand on Christ and on every subject. Christians should be opinionated. You should have an opinion about stuff, because if you don't, somebody's going to give you their opinion and you're going to take it. So formulate your opinion based on the scriptures. Hallelujah. Be willing to stand alone in certain subjects. I might be unpopular. I'm not budging. I'm standing my ground with my sword in my hand. Hallelujah. Like Eliezer. Speak life, speak hope, speak love. Hallelujah. That's good news. Hallelujah. Then you have the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Come on, we need the shield of faith. God, all of us have been given a measure of faith, but it's up to you to feed your faith, to fan the flame of the gift of God that is in you. We need to speak faith. Declare faith. And when we go to God in prayer, you know, He begins to drop things into us and strengthen us. You know, there's things that God has put in my heart that I could almost, they haven't happened, and it might be years, but in my mind it's already done. And I'll talk to somebody else, and they're not in the same boat as me. And then I'll talk to somebody that's not in the same boat, because God, for different situations, He will give the gift of faith for a specific situation to one person so they can carry that dream until fruition. And that person walks as if it's already done. So we need faith, you know, to fend off. When the enemy tries to lie and everything looks dark and everything looks like, where is this going? That's when we need that shield of faith. And yes, the enemy says, I mean, the scripture says that the enemy is throwing fiery darts to tempt us, to get us to sin. You know, there's two ways that the enemy attacks us, from the outside and from the inside. When you are living in holiness and righteousness, I'm talking about you're perfect. I'm talking about you. You keep short accounts. You're going to God constantly. You know, the enemy cannot steal from you. Think about it as a fortress. So he will begin to throw fire darts, trying to get you to tempt, for you to say something with your own lips, for you to get offended, for you to open the door some way. But once you've opened the door, it's like you just gave him a key, and he begins to come in, of course, until you repent. You know, but there are consequences, obviously, and that is the issue. But once when he has that key, because you won't forgive, because you won't, stop practicing certain things that God's called you to practice. You know, maybe you're looking at certain things, reading certain things, you have certain relationships, you just have an open door. Then the enemy's constantly coming in and robbing you, robbing your family, robbing your relationships, robbing your peace, robbing your joy, robbing your sleep. So repent, close the door shut, and then just once again, get in that stance with your shield of faith. Hallelujah. And then you have your salvation as your helmet. You got to protect the head at all times. Hallelujah. The Bible says we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And this is what you need to do. When you put on that helmet, remember, you were saved and you belong to Jesus. My mom would always say, whenever we go on a trip, remember who you are. You belong to Jesus. You're an ambassador of Jesus. You're a representative of Jesus. So watch the manner in which you live. And you walked a little different, right? You know, a little more straight. You know, when you said things like that on the way out of your house. But it's the truth. You know, you put salvation as your helmet. You're not ordinary. You need to have a mindset, I am different. That's what holiness means. Did you know that? Holy means separate, different, set aside. So when you know, hey, I'm walking to Buena High School, I belong to Jesus. I may not be perfect, but I belong to Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. I am different. Let me carry my Bible. I know people don't do it anymore because they say, well, I have it on my phone. You know, but sometimes you might want to make a stand. Just carry an actual Bible in your hand. You're going to get a lot of looks, but it's okay. And finally, you got to take the sword of the Spirit. I hope I don't cut this table. He told me it's very sharp. I was like, you know, Jesus defeated the enemy by saying, it is written. If you know the scripture, you quote it to the enemy. It is written. You will not live by bread alone, but of every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I don't need to eat on that stuff you're trying to feed me, devil. All I need is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My last point, victories of eternal consequence are first fought spiritually. Don't fight him in the natural. Don't fight him in your emotion. Don't fight him with your earthly wisdom, with a psychology book, with a self-help book. Come on, that's not the way to go. If one thing that God angered God, you know, in the Old Testament about the kings is that they often would go, oh, this enemy's attacking. Well, let's go make an alliance with Syria. Let's go make an alliance with Pharaoh. You know, let's go get some help and give them some gold, that precious gold, from the shields or the stuff that we have in the sanctuary. They would give it as a payment so that his armies would help them. It's like, no, go to God first. Go to God first. Victories of eternal consequence are first fought spiritually. And I'm getting close. In Daniel 6, we see an example of one who was in a matter of life and death. How many know this story about the lion's den? But he fought first with spiritual weapons. And then he saw it manifest in the natural by the closing of the lion's mouths. And then he reaped favor with men. How many won that? Well, you need to first fight spiritually. When Daniel served under Darius the Mede, he was the most capable, it tells us in that scripture, of those that served under him. So he was hated by the other rulers under Darius. They wanted to find a way to get him in trouble, but they could not find fault in him. But they knew that he prayed 3 times a day. He would go into his house, he would open up the windows, and he would pray like clockwork. He was a man of prayer, a man of prayer. And so they tricked the king into writing a law that would prevent for 30 days anyone from praying to anyone other than King Darius. And we see laws being rewritten these days to get the Christians in trouble. It's happening. Just like in the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They want us to bow down before a big, statue. But we won't. So he signed this thing into law, but this is that Daniel had integrity. He didn't get mad at them. He didn't go crying out to the king. You know, what did he do? He says he went right back to what he always did, to fight his spiritual fight. He went to God. He didn't do it to look religious. Right? Like the song says, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. How is it that you fight your battles? This is how I go to my closet. Something, you're in the middle of a big project at work or a situation, a relationship issue. You just go to your, you don't even have to go in a closet. Come on, as long as you acknowledge the Lord in that place and you just pray in your heart, or even, or you go to a bathroom and you're like, Lord God, I need your help in this situation. What's going on? Then God begins to step in. He begins to fight the battle for you. And the Bible says that because the law was written, it says that they had to throw Daniel into the lion's den. But it says that the mouths of the lions were closed. It would not harm them. And it actually backfired on all those evil men. And then Daniel reaped great favor. And it finishes that passage saying that Daniel not only served Darius the Mede, but then he served Cyrus the Persian. The guy just extended his favor, you know, the multiple kings. He served, you know, Nebuchadnezzar. And then Darius and then Cyrus. So eternal victories are fought with spiritual weapons, but preparation comes first. There is no victory without preparation. Listen, to have the authority and favor of a Daniel, you must be diligent to prepare. I know there's some people in this house that know how to fight and fight well. But my prayer is that all of us would be great warriors as we lift up our families, as we lift up our nation in the days to come. And I'm telling you, you're going to see a manifest. There's going to be a harvest of righteousness. You foregoing a meal during the time of fast, a meal or two, foregoing coffee or chocolate or that bread or that pastry that you like, you know that nothing that you do for God goes unnoticed. And He will favor you. And He will bless you. There's some things that you've been fighting for. Maybe it's time to double up your efforts of prayer and fasting. And you're going to see a great harvest. Let's finish this passage. Ephesians 6, verses 19 to 22. It says, and pray for me too, as God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan. Mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for Him. It's not just about fighting in the spiritual. Eventually, He tells us, come down from the mountain and do the things that I've told you to do. And He says, I need you to pray for me. First pray for me that I may be bold to go out and continue to preach the gospel. There's some actions to do, but some people put actions before prayer. No, we need to do the spiritual work first, and then we have manifested, you know, in the spirit. Hallelujah. And then it says, to bring you up to date, Tychicus will give you a full report about what I'm doing and how I'm getting along. He is a beloved brother and faithful what? Helper. Some people need to become servants in the Lord's house this day. It says, I have sent him. We're not sent. Missionaries are not went, they're sent. Acts 13, it says that the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets. It says, separate from me, Paul and Barnabas, to the work of the ministry. And that's the first missionary trip, was the work of the Holy Spirit sending out Paul and Barnabas. And that's how it's supposed to be done. There's spiritual work, and then there's a manifestation in the natural. Are you guys seeing that? There is some footwork that happens after that. You do have to walk it out. But don't dare go out there without prayer, without fasting, without the word, without, you know, all these things that we talked about. You know, taking all of your armor on a daily basis. So after we prepare, we must fight. After we prepare, we must fight. Spiritual fights are fought with many weapons, so use them. I know some of you have been getting angry and you're posting away on social media. I would say hold off on that. Fast from that. Just fast from that. Just pray. Just fast and pray. And make some declarations over it. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God for pulling down of strongholds, mindsets of lawlessness, of rebelliousness, of lasciviousness, of sexual immorality, of witchcraft. They're out there. And young kids are absorbing it. You know, they're having it in their video games and in their movies and in all this stuff. And they're just pulling it in. So when we pray, we bind the spirit behind them that influences them, so that it doesn't have the desired effect. And it gives us a chance to preach the gospel. We need holiness, character, integrity, fear of God and not man. We need praise in the good times and the bad times. We need our confessions. You know, we need to declare the word of the Lord and the truths of God. We need to preach. Preaching is a form of spiritual warfare. Did you know that? Even as I'm preaching here, some of the strongholds that some of us are suffering from are falling off of you. Some old ways that you've allowed to creep in. I know some of you, you're hearing some of these things for the first time, but some of you, you know these things. I'm just reminding you. Hallelujah, under the anointing. And I prayed, God, speak to the people today, even things that I'm not saying. Somehow the Holy Spirit is able to translate it into that situation that you're living. And you said, oh, the pastor just spoke into my situation. If you were to ask me later on, I would say, I have no idea. I don't remember saying that at all. But that's okay, because the Holy Spirit is preaching to you an individually tailored message that's going to have a great harvest in your life. Amen. And last thing, obedience. There needs to be obedience. There's things that the Holy Spirit will say in the places of prayer. But after you pray, you have to go and do what He told you to do. Otherwise, you don't close the circuit. No power is released. No transformation is released. No breakthrough is released. There's some things that you need to do. You can't just say, I'm just going to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. I'm just a prayer warrior. No, there's praying, but then there's some doing. You know? There's some doing. Well, I don't know what that is. It could be so many things. Right? We got to visit people. We got to call people. We got to write letters. We got to serve people. You got to get in line. So you saw that number, 94090, and write serve SEM. And there's all these ministries that need to be filled. All of us need to be serving in one way or another. So last thing I ask you, are you poised for battle? There's spiritual warfare around us.